Greening Law presents For Our Kids Legal Podcast, starring Robert L. Greening and moderated by Jordan Pryor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For Our Kids Legal Podcast. As always, I have attorney Robert L. Greening with me, and today we have a special guest, attorney Stan Denman. Stan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice and your qualifications?
Great. Appreciate you having me. My name is Stan Denman. I'm an attorney here in Dallas. I practice only Social Security disability. I have been doing that kind of work since 1991.
Okay. Awesome. And to just kind of jump right into our topics today, we're going to be talking about Social Security, how it fits into personal injury. Robert, let me ask you this. How does Social Security fit into personal injury and wrongful death, and when does it arise in our cases?
So, you know, anytime we have a case come into the office, we're always interested to know how medical bills are being paid for by our clients, because they're coming in with medical bills generally. Somebody's been hurt really bad. It may have led to their death, but their medical bills before their death, or there's a person that's injured and they have medical bills and they have ongoing future treatment they're going to need. So we're interested to know who's paying for those, because there may be future subrogation issues where we have to pay those back out of the third party recovery, or out of the recovery that we get by the person who injured you in the first place. So we need to know that information. And sometimes their medical bills are being paid by Medicare because they're on Social Security disability. And so we'll talk about those issues later, those subrogation issues later, but that's one way that it comes up. Another way that it comes up is, and the most common way, is that somebody comes into our office and they've had a bad accident or injury resulting from an accident, and they all of a sudden can't work anymore. And they didn't have health insurance to begin with, and they can't work, and no money's coming into their household, and they are catastrophically injured, and they need to get on Social Security disability so that they can get their life back and going again as quickly as possible. And so that's where Social Security disability comes in those situations. And that is not what I do. I'm helping people recover from people that have wronged them. So I always turn to Stan for those kinds of clients that need help getting onto Social Security disability. That's why I wanted Stan to come talk to us today, because it is a very specialized area and it's a very important benefit that all U.S. citizens have available to them. But it's a system, it's a governmental system, and it's best to try to work the system with an attorney that's experienced in doing that. So that's where it comes up. I know that was a long answer, but that's where it comes up.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. And Stan, kind of take us through the process that you go through in order to get people their disability in. And is it a need-based kind of thing? Or?
Sure. Well, a couple of important things maybe we can talk about initially that comes up when you mention the need-based issue. Because there are two major disability programs. There's Social Security Disability Insurance, and there's Supplemental Security Income, which is SSI. People get confused about these two programs because Social Security Disability Insurance is an entitlement. That is, the government does not consider, do you have money in the bank? Are you wealthy? They only consider whether you met the standards for disability. With SSI, it is the same standard for proving disability, but it's a welfare program. It's not based upon wages. That's an area, that is SSI, where there is a consideration of it being, in other words, you do have to be needs-based to draw SSI. So the way that I work with clients in either the SSI or Social Security Disability Insurance area is I can either help them initially, that is, help them file and go through the process. Oftentimes people will file on their own, and if they receive a denial, they'll hire me. Unfortunately, as probably most people know, the process is very lengthy. Just getting to the administrative law judge hearing stage, the wait is about a year, which is absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. So I help people go through the process. I help them prepare for the hearing. I found in my experience that, generally speaking, what people think the judge wants to hear and what the judge really wants to hear are very different things. It's just human nature. Most people have not gone through this process before, and they have no idea what they really need to emphasize and talk about. So that's an important part of my job, is to, you know, kind of hone their story and help them focus on what is important. What does the judge need to hear to approve their disability?
So can a minor get Social Security disability or SSI?
Children can get SSI. Obviously, children don't have a work record, so that's the only realm that they're dealing with, is mm-hmm. SSI. Mm-hmm. The rules are a little complicated because, obviously, we're not talking about judging whether they could work. The government does have a criteria as far as children relating to their functioning and improving disability. In other words, the issue is not can you do work, but the interest is where are you in your daily functioning to prove that. With children's SSI, the income for the family does come into the picture. So oftentimes a child can qualify for SSI, but there is an issue on the parent's income. How much they're going to actually receive might be a very small amount.
And so we're focused here a lot on our podcast on children's claims. I think this information that you're giving us helps everyone, even, you know, for adult claims as well. But I want to ask one more question about the children's claims. So the children's SSI, would that cover some medical bills for the children, for the child that's maybe catastrophically injured?
It would. And oftentimes that's really the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. In order to receive Medicaid, you have to be eligible for at least $1 in SSI. So you could have a situation where a child is, you know, severely injured, and the parents are making a lot of money, but as long as they're at least qualifying for $1 in SSI, they're going to get the Medicaid. So I've had many clients in which, the parents and the family have recognized, know what's important to us is getting that Medicaid.
So you're using the term Medicaid. Is that SSI or is that a different thing?
Well, Medicaid, you know, can be available. You can get Medicaid other than through SSI, but Medicaid is available to SSI recipients. It's a little confusing because basically with Social Security Disability Insurance, you've got Medicare. With SSI, you've got Medicaid.
I see. Okay. So anyone that's on SSI, the insurance, the health insurance that they're getting, whether they're a minor or an adult, is Medicaid.
It's Medicaid. That's
right. So that's a state program.
That's right.
Okay. I understand.
That's right.
And so the reason why that's important for our practice here, when we're dealing with minors or adults who are catastrophically injured, is that the Medicaid statute, as well as the Medicare statute, requires us to protect that interest. In other words, if we get a recovery from a third party or from the party that injures someone, we have to pay back Medicaid's the amount that Medicaid has paid thus far, and/or we have to pay back the amount Medicare's paid in payments for medical bills. So we have to work hand in glove with these governmental agencies to ensure that we pay them back, because if we don't pay them back, there could be actually criminal implications, because there's a lot of teeth in those statutes because the government wants to be paid back.
Interesting. Okay.
And then also another interesting thing is that there are certain ways that we can protect Medicaid eligibility. Even if we get a big recovery for someone, there are ways that the Medicaid eligibility, like you were talking about, can be protected so that the recovery can be there and be placed in what's called a special needs trust, so that the money is there available to the catastrophically injured child or adult, but Medicaid, they still retain their Medicaid eligibility to pay for the daily medical needs that are there. And then the special needs trust, the money is held in trust, so it never comes into the possession of the hurt person. That's why they retain their Medicaid eligibility. Mm-hmm. And then the trustee can pay for extra things that Medicaid may not cover for that child. Mm-hmm. And so it works out very well. And whenever we do one of these cases where all this is going on, we make sure that we include a trust attorney to come in and help us get the correct advice about those things, because once again, not my area. So we make sure that we do all we can to protect all of those interests.
Yeah, I think you're emphasizing how important it is in what might seem like a simple matter to have mm-hmm. an experienced representation like yourself.
Yes.
And you know, let's say somebody decides that they want to try and get a SSDI on their own. I mean, what does that process look like for, you know, say a normal person? What kind of obstacles do they have to jump through that, you know, someone like you is a little bit more prepared for?
Well, people do qualify for Social Security Disability Insurance on their own. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have an attorney. My experience is that when people are disabled, they're really dealing with a lot of stress. They're in a very difficult position in their life. And we all know that when we're under stress, sometimes handling things is just not easy.
Right.
It's a system that is unfamiliar to most people. It's very foreign, and it feels like, I don't really know what you want to prove my case. Again, I will get involved early, I'll get involved in late, but part of what I do is to help people understand what's important. For example, a lot of times people have been struggling with this health problem for a long time, have gone through a lot of medical procedures, and they're frustrated. Medical science is not getting them better, and maybe they fall away from medical treatment. That's oftentimes fatal for a disability case, even though maybe you're not getting much improvement. If you're not seeing a doctor and getting some medical treatment on a regular basis, you're going to have trouble mm-hmm. Getting disability. So, I mean, part of my job is to make sure they understand what they need to be doing on a continuing basis to win their case.
Gotcha.
So, Stan, how do you charge people for your services? Because I would imagine that a lot of your clients don't have a lot of money because
right.
they're disabled.
That's
so
right. That's
how
right.
does that work?
Well, it's similar to your practice. I'm on a contingent fee basis. It's heavily regulated by the government. Basically, attorneys can charge 25% of the back benefits. Now, the back benefits is the money that Social Security owes the individual for the past. For example, when you file for Social Security disability, you can receive disability benefits up to 1 year prior to your filing date. In addition, as I've said, going through this process can be years. So oftentimes when the government finally says, okay, we agree, you were right, there is a large amount of money or a significant amount of money to pay that person. I'm paid from that money. I'm actually the limitation I have is 25% or $6,000, whichever is less. In other words, I never make more than $6,000 on a case. And what's, you know, critical to my clients is that if I don't win, I don't get paid.
Okay.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you wanted to add in, Robert?
I don't think so. I think, I hope we've made this clear about what my role is, what our role here is, and what Stan's role is. And I would just say, if anybody has more questions about this, you know, go on our website and get our phone number and give us a call.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to give us a call. You guys can also give Stan a call as well. We'd love to talk to you.
And we'll have Stan's information there, and we'll be happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Yep. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys learned something. Stan, Robert, thank you guys so much for being on the show today. And we will be with you guys in 2 weeks for another episode of For Our Kids.